God of all mercies, Father of all comforts, to whom can we compare you with? You seated in majesty, holiness becometh thy house, faithful to 1,000 generations. Blessed be your holy name. We worship you, Father. Lord Jesus, you seated at the right hand of the Father in majesty. Your name is holy. Your name is like an ointment poured forth. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. It's of your fullness that we have received grace upon grace. You give grace and you give glory. No good thing do you withhold from those who trust in you. We worship you, Lord Jesus, the bright and the morning star. We love you, Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, the inner strengthener, the friend that sticks closer than a brother, the God that is more than enough, the resident member of the Godhead here on earth. You are a person. You are God. We worship you. Triune Deity, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, precious Holy Spirit, we bless, worship, and adore you in Jesus' name. Our Father, we thank you for this time of exhortation and sharing and interaction. We pray you come and take control by your Spirit. Let there be an openness, a release of the Spirit, a release of our hearts, a release of our minds, so that we can receive with meekness the engrafted word of God that is able to save our souls. You said in your word that we have been committed unto God, and so we commit ourselves now unto God and to the word of his grace, which is able to bless us, increase us, and give us an inheritance amongst the sanctified. Thank you, because your word will have a free course and your word will be glorified. Father, we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy against the effectual receiving delivery of the word, against effectual participatory spirit, against openness of heart, all you such contrary foul spirit of distraction, intimidation, offense, mind wandering, fear, unbelief, and such like, including human spirits in alliance with the devil. All you such contrary foul spirits, we cast you out. We destroy your works. We resist and bind you and break your hold over our hearts, bodies, and circumstances in Jesus' name. We lose the angels of God and the seven spirits of God to go fulfill the air, enforce and execute God's perfect will concerning this time of ministration and interaction. Father, we come under our covering of the apostolic and prophetic anointings of our fathers, and under the lordship of the authority of the name of Jesus. And we say it will be well with us and we'll fulfill our destinies. Thank you, Father, because you answer our prayers. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. Let's give the Lord a super hand clap. That's not a super hand clap. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's be seated. Let's sit down. Amen. Praise the Lord. You are welcome to Zion City Fellowship, Campus Outreach Arm of Scripture Pastoral Christian Center, pastor by Pastor Luby Johnson and Mommy Sarah Johnson. Let's honor our parents by acknowledging their labor of love over us. We thank God for their prayers. Tell them we are starting Zion City Fellowship. I barely sent the message. Mommy immediately was sending her prayers. So that's the oversight and the care that they have for us. Praise the Lord. Amen. In economics that I did in those days, I don't know whether the economics has differed now, that's what they call localization of industry, in which an area, maybe smelting, steel, so all the industries are located there. So I don't like this localization of industry in this place. Enoch worked with God. Enoch, come here. Sisters, come here. No, I've picked one sister. I've left the other one. You. Enoch. Just move across and let's spread it out a little. In pink,
Just anywhere, just feel free. Yes, let's spread ourselves out.
Okay, good. So, ushers, when new people come, just spread them out. Praise the Lord. Okay, I want us to make the best of our time. We barely have 50 minutes. And it's short exhortation, maybe 10 minutes. And then it's interactive. You're going to ask questions. If you don't ask me, I will ask you. Praise the Lord. I'm already looking at people that I've never asked them a question for a long time. So I'm going to ask them questions today. Stop shaking. Are you sure it's you I will ask questions? Maybe I will ask you. So, in the month of August, wow. Can you believe August is ending? Let's give the Lord a super hand clap. Wow. And we are coming into the Ember month. It looked like a new year a few months ago. The year is ending. Okay, so in August we have talked about abounding in hope. Praise the Lord. Abounding in hope. And we have talked about mercy in times of tribulation. These are trying times. These are what? All over the world. We've always said it here. It's trying times all over the world. All over the world. It's trying times. Everybody's querying what is happening. It's querying what is happening. In politics, in economics, wars and rumors of wars, assassinations, murders, kidnappings, unexplained brutality of man against man. But yet we have to abound in hope. Praise the Lord. There's something you must be hoping for. Amen. Unless you'll be overwhelmed with the times. You'll be overwhelmed with the times. Imagine a student, and many of you have faced such circumstances. Maybe you are preparing for your final exam, final WAEC. And then 2 weeks to the time, you are feeling a little feverish. Because there is a high hope in you. I want to hit my exams. You just don't give in easily. Praise the Lord. That's what hope does. That's what hope does. You just don't give in easily. You say, no, I can't be sick now. I can't be sick. So you pray, you quickly, let me give you Panadol. But it's not just the medicine now. There is a hope. Praise the Lord. And you just want to, and that's how life is. So when you face challenges and you have no hope, it makes you overwhelmed. It makes you want to give up. And that's why they said in Nigeria, with due respect to the northern part of the country, you are from the northern part of the country. When 30, 40 years ago, the world was moving, they refused to send children to school. They sent children, they have children, and they sent the children out. Not that they went out, they sent them out to go and beg. No education. And then when Boko Haram came, and they were recruiting people, there were a lot of people without hope. They were easy prey to be recruited. Is it you that you are in 300 level and you are planning to go and do your master's in Canada? That's why we tell you, you should drop out of school and come and start killing people. You have a hope. So when they give you such proposition, but when there's an army of people, they just live day by day. There is no long-term plan. There is no long-term hope. They become easy targets for hopeless missions. The same thing for our Christianity. Is there a hope? Because there's an abounding iniquity in the world.
There's an abounding iniquity in the world. So if you don't have a hope in God, it's easy for the wind to carry you away. In UI, we have a platform, WhatsApp platform, all lecturers. And was it last week or 2 weeks ago, there was this issue of the world is developing, we have been busy praying, and then you could now see this contrast that prayer has not done us anything, we should forget, let's go and walk. And I just saw people who have lost hope. And we're now arguing, you could see arguing on one side that, but you could see people are giving up on God. Why? They were getting overwhelmed with the situation they were facing on ground in the country. That's why we need to abound in hope. What are you thinking? What's your hope in God? That's why we make people to just give up on their righteousness and go and wallow in a life of sin. There's no more fear of God. There's no more reverence for God. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Maybe, is the screen on? Galatians 5:5. If it's not on, I'll quickly read. Oh, good, the screen is there. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. I want to live a more righteous life. I want to live a life that is pleasing to God. I want a life that God will direct. Then I have a hope that with God, I'm going to hit, I'll fulfill my destiny and hit the fullness of my potentials. So, through the Spirit, that's prayer, the word, you wait for that hope of righteousness by faith. So coming to church is not that they told us to come. You know that the word of God will have a free course through you. It's going to give you faith. You are going to be stronger because you are hoping for a more righteous life. You look at the weaknesses in you. You have not given up on them. You are trusting God that these weaknesses will be defeated. And I'll get stronger in righteousness. And whenever, either in rapture, for a generation, when Jesus appears, I'll be more like him. That's hope of righteousness. Praise the Lord. You don't allow, you do we now say, fuel subsidy, economy, this, that, we take away that hope. That's why we say abounding in hope. Praise the Lord. Our spiritual responsibility and our desires in the things of the kingdom, in the things of God, should never go dim. Amen. In the midst of this world that we live, and we live in a physical world. Praise the Lord. That has its own physical needs and physical challenges. But don't kid yourself. Your own knowledge, your own skills will not save you through the problems of the times. Amen. You need God. The more you look like God, the more you are going to overcome your challenges. Praise the Lord. That's the truth. That's the reality. Amen. Our ambitions, our hopes, our careers, great as they are, they can't take the place of God. Don't look at the small picture. Amen. Like the young man whose criteria for picking his wife is just beauty. It's beauty important? Fine. But he's used a small myopic gauge to start a journey of 40 years that he doesn't know the future. And that's what we've seen in the world. Now he gets a very beautiful wife who is very nasty, who doesn't forgive, who doesn't want to see his mom. Then the whole beauty now will not matter. The whole beauty will fade away. That's really sometimes a snapshot of the things we put before God and we think they are more than God. No, don't look at a small picture to judge something that you cannot even see. That's why we serve God by faith. Praise the Lord. We through the Spirit, we wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We trust God. Amen. And so about new hope. And then we talked about the fact that in the world we live in, there are tribulations. There are troubles. Praise the Lord. We are not ostrich with his head in the sand. But one antidote that is sure to keep you afloat over tribulation is the mercy of God. Praise the Lord. It's the mercy of God. Bible is clear. It's of God's mercies that we are not consumed. That actually says that before you even start talking about mercy, it's mercy that has even brought you to that level. Praise the Lord. You should have been consumed. It's of the mercies of the Lord. That's that invincible protection behind you. Praise the Lord. But beyond that invincible protection is that you now keyed into it again by faith. Say, God, have mercy on me. God, I need mercy. Amen. And that when, what does mercy do? Yes, God, have mercy. God, I need mercy. And God will give mercy. But what is the function? What will mercy do? Mercy will preserve you. Praise the Lord. And mercy will strengthen you to do what you are supposed to do. Amen. Yeah, it preserves you because many times when we are crying for mercy, we are weak. So it preserves us and strengthens us. But it strengthens us to start to do what we are supposed to do. You're supposed to pray. You're supposed to be patient. You're supposed to hope in God's word. Mercy will bring you there. Amen. But before you get there, it preserves you and encourages you and strengthens you so that you don't give up. Amen. So that's like a nutshell of what we've been talking about in the month of August. So, and I know all of us in our lives, one way or the other, can relate to what we have said. So, our comments or questions or clarity. We want some clarity on these summaries, whether you are there or not, but at least I've given the nutshell. And I'm sure we can relate to these realities in our lives. So the floor is open. Comments, questions, additions, you need clarification about hope in this Nigeria that we live, and yet we are living for the kingdom of God. Questions about mercy. How do I walk in mercy? How do I live in mercy? Okay, you are talking about mercy, but if people are facing these kind of challenges, what do you expect them to do? These are real times. We don't have the time, unless Allah probably afforded you to start writing your questions. So we don't have the time. So I need comments, questions. But if you want to write, you can write. If you want to write, you can write. The usher will take it from you. But I have just 1 minute to hand over the mic to somebody. You won't play that dumb, play dumb with me forever. Forget it. It won't happen. And I can hand it over to anybody. At least we are all You are all children of God and students of God and students of the church, students of the Bible and students in school. So what I've said is English and you understand. So if you are doing English, SS2 English, your teacher just spoke for 20 minutes on this. Give a 1 minute summary of what he has said in 20 minutes. Definitely you can pass that English question. So you can give it to anybody. I'm already 30 seconds to handing the questions out. The good thing is that I have three sets of twin looking people in this place. Three sets. And this mic will not escape one of them. One of them will get the mic. I give you another 30 seconds. I have three sets of twin looking people. And the one that is looking and shaking and composing trying to take the eye away from me is the one I will go for first. So don't take your eye away from me. Look at me straight in the face. Good. One of those twin looking people, I'm going to hand over the mic. 15 more seconds. Except somebody else wants to ask, don't wait for them. Don't wait for me to call them now. You can raise up your hand so you can spare them. Please, let's clap for Anna and Ruth. He has spared me going the mic going to Sarah. Maybe it's still coming. Thank you, Anna Ruth.
Okay, so I just wanted to share a verse that I read this morning.
Beautiful, thank you.
And it's related to abounding in hope.
Yeah.
So it's from Psalm 37.
Psalms 37.
Verse 34.
Verse 34, please. You can read Anna Ruth, but let them put it on the screen for us.
I want to place emphasis on the first part.
Okay.
The whole thing. So it says, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. So,
37, 34. Read it again, Anna Ruth.
Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land.
Okay.
The other part is, when the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see.
So the first part, yeah.
Yeah, so the first part. So, there is a promise for us to inherit, and so it is important that we abound in hope. If we remember that the Israelites did not enter the promised land, and it's stated in the Bible, I'm not sure which verse, that they did not inherit because of unbelief. So it's very important that we keep that faith and we keep his way. So all the instructions that we've been receiving from all our fathers and all of that, all the guidelines to keeping the commandments, walking in love and all of that, we must make sure that we keep all of these things with that hope to inherit the promise of God. Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Let's give her a hand. Please, take that scripture back. It's a beautiful scripture. Yes. Wait. Be patient. Keep trusting. Like we said here, wait is not a passive wait. It's active. Wait. Because we think God is slow. Wait. And keep his way. His way is the way of love. Keep your love confessions. Pray in the spirit about them. Keep his way. And God will deliver. Praise the Lord. Because sometimes what we want has not gone well, then you want to give up on God. No, that's the encouragement. Wait. And in waiting, keep his way. Praise the Lord. Don't throw away the things of the spirit. Stay in the word. Pray in the spirit. Do the love confessions. And he shall exalt thee to him. God will deliver. Both in the short term and in the long term. Because the people that you are envying, that they don't pray, why am I praying? When the wicked are cut off, so that's why that beast is it links to it. You will see it. You will see that you are still standing, that you are waiting upon the Lord. So don't give up on God. Praise the Lord. Don't give up. Because at the end of the day, God has said, I will never justify the wicked. Both in
both in the short term and particularly in eternity, God made that clear. I will never justify the wicked. So nobody can stand before God and say, obviously, wickedness pays. No. It does not pay. Encourage you, wait on the Lord. Keep his way. And he will show up. He will exalt you to inherit the land. Praise the Lord. I've said a story here before, many years ago. I had this story. It's probably 20 years. You know, I've always told you something here. Life is a cycle. Praise the Lord. Today is called jackpot syndrome. My wife remember Andrew. We used to call it the Andrew syndrome. Because there was always a sketch on TV of a man called Andrew who was pissed off with Nigeria and he says, I'm checking out. So when I was in secondary school, that was Andrew, I'm checking out. Because then too, in the 80s, we had this depression of our currency. And Nigeria too was shaking then. And someone told me a story. So this was, I'm sure this story is 20 years, 25. I was in university. Or just came out of university, one of them. University, wow. I left university 30 years. That's why time flies. So this story is probably over 30 years ago. Something is over 30 years ago. So, Nigeria was passing through stress. And this guy was in either 200 or 300 level. And left school and got visa and got his way to UK. Definitely with a plan never to come back. He was in university. He was in his second or third year. So, had a friend who was doing accounting. Maybe HND. HND accounting. So there were friends. Many actually in those days, 80s. My wife, they actually left school and went to the UK. I don't know how popular Mac. Is it McDonald's? There's this eatery in the UK that was popular. McDonald's is American. This, I don't know whether it's McDonald's, but it's a popular eatery that people will always go and buy burger. That's where many used to work. Those people, they were expanding in UK, so they had odd jobs, hourly jobs. They left school. But this, their friend, well, by one circumstance, he was here. He finished his HND accounting. I don't know the further studies that he did, but he joined a popular accounting firm in those days. And that accounting firm is not local, probably it's global, all this Pitmorewick and co. So many of those accounting firms of our days, then they've changed their names now. There have been mergers and acquisitions, so they don't bear those names that we used to know. Can't remember the name then. So, but after a few years of working, Nigeria, as the 90s came, things stabilized a little. Things got better. And this guy moved on in work. And then they now seconded him to the London office. Maybe to go and spend a year. Part of office training. He was so excited because of his friends that they've parted ways many years. So the company had an accommodation for him. He said he did not want that he was going to stay with his friends. So company left the accommodation, went to stay with his friends. He didn't mind, but he got there, his friends, five of them, six, they were living in a room. They all had their mattresses on the floor. He has to resume work. He's an executive now. So he has to resume work 8, 9. They have to go to their first shift at 5:30. By the time he wakes up, they have all gone. He finishes work at 5 and goes home. They have gone to the third job night. He couldn't even see the friends that he was striving to come and see.
It's just a snapshot story of how life sometimes can be ephemeral. And he is respected and treated the exact category of how his position is in London. Let's be careful. I always say something. I'm not against anybody going here or there. Go where your peace is. Because your peace that will save you. Amen. That peace is between you and God. That peace is between you and God. It's your peace that will save you. You make your decisions, you have peace with it. You design that it's God's will that you are doing. That's why God comes first. Praise the Lord. God comes first. I learned that many years ago. Where is safe? Where God tells me to be. When Pastor Lalo was talking of the sad story of a couple that, you know, took time for them to have a child, relocated to the US, and the last mass shooting in a school, the child was there and was killed. Very painful. Very painful. Nobody is wishing anybody bad and using anybody as a wrong example. But we're just saying, this world is filled with tribulations. Praise the Lord. The place where they don't have kidnapping, they have volcanoes. The place where you don't have volcanoes, you have mass shooting. There is problem in the whole world. Anywhere you find yourself, God will see you through. So stay where God tells you to be. And as you are there, that abounding in hope. Hope of righteousness. Try to live better for God. Deal with your infirmities and increase your capacity of love. Amen. However, those shakings can be real. And by God's mercies, you will overcome them. So we are not hiding under any religious facade. There are shakings. But God sees you through. Amen. Let me tell you, every man, every company, every institution goes through shaking. Praise the Lord. Goes through shaking. Nobody is immune. But we stay firm. Amen. Particularly when it comes to the Christian race. As a Christian, you have issues. The issues are there because the devil is angry that you are keeping the faith. You must renounce that faith. That's what the devil wants. You must renounce that faith. So the fact that you are keeping the faith, it makes you a target for persecution. Praise the Lord. But Bible says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Nobody has been promised that the shaking is going to shake him away. Bible just says that invest in things that cannot be shaken. That's the love of God. Because shaking will always be, but when you invest in what cannot be shaken, you will not be shaken away. You will stay. There will be shaking, no, but it won't blow you away. Praise the Lord. Any other comments? Thank you, Chinedu. And then the floodgate is open. Chinedu and then Ibrahim.
Praise the Lord, church.
Hallelujah.
Please, the Bible, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1. I want to talk about King Jehoshaphat.
2 Chronicles
20.
Okay. You can read.
All right. If you look at what you just said now about the shaking, 4 cities came against him. As a king, no more, he has the power to go to other cities to bring army, to bring soldiers to fight for him. But if you look at what he did there, he went to God,
to the house of God,
to seek for mercy. He has to bring down himself and seek power from God, mercy from God. And in 20 verse 17. Please take us to 17.
Verse 17.
He said, verse 17.
Read,
please.
Chinedu.
Okay, he said, ye shall no need to fight in this battle. Set yourself.
Fight in this battle. Continue.
Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. to tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you.
Amen.
That is when you seek the mercy of God.
Amen.
As you said earlier, there are a lot of things, there are a lot of shakings, tribulations, but the best thing to do is go to the house of God, seek God's face, and I believe He will never disappoint you.
Praise the Lord. Let's give Him a hand. I like that. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Praise the Lord. What do you want that you will get, but God will not be with you? Let me repeat that. What do you want that you will get, but God will not be with you? It's not worth it. Praise the Lord. It's not worth it. That battle didn't disappear. God said, go out against them. Amen. God, many times, don't remove people through from battle. He takes, he's with you, and he goes with you through them. Amen. That's what I say here. Go out against them. But one thing is clear. Because you have sought God's face, God said, will be with you. So, your problems, you know, financial problems, academic problems, you are still going to face them, but face them with God. Amen. Don't let those problems now overwhelm you. You now leave God aside because you have a problem. I need to face my problem. No. Jehoshaphat went to the house of God and said, ah, God, I have a problem, but I have you. Amen. God now said, tomorrow, go out against them, for I will be with you. Amen. Brethren, that really is the kernel of everything we've been talking about. There's problem everywhere. Don't face your own without God. Amen. Me, problems don't. Nigeria has its set up. UI, where I work, has its set up. Everywhere is set up. I don't fear anymore. I have full conviction that no matter what comes, once I hold on to God, I'm going to triumph. What is it? There's no money to do this. We are facing this problem in research. I have seen over here. I hold on to God and face my problems. They become a thing of the past. Amen. And by God's grace, God is still with me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Pastor Ibrahim.
Good evening. I think it was last week you mentioned something about, like, we as humans, God has to, like, repeat stuff over and over and over again. I think you mentioned the story of Joseph.
Yeah.
About the
God repeated the dream to Joseph, yes. Even though it was the same dream.
Like, it got me thinking, because, like, someone like me now, God can tell me. He used different people to tell me things, like, 6-7 times, and I might still not get it. Like, you tell my dad would tell me, my mom would tell me, my sisters would tell me, but, like, I would still not get it. So, like, it got me thinking that he gave me, like, something to long for, like, to reduce the amount of times God has to use people to tell me stuff before I actually get it. So, I feel like it's something that we should all look forward to doing, too. Because, like, if God keeps on telling you different things, different times, multiple times, it's, like, now, my elder sister, she told me something.
Which elder?
Sarah.
Okay.
She told me something about, like, if... Like now, you have a friend. Okay, somebody. Like now, Sarah and I are talking. Sarah is talking to me, but I'm not listening to her. I'm talking to him. So, like, if she keeps on talking, and, like, I'm talking to him, after some time, she, like, might just go away and, like, this guy doesn't want to answer me, and just go. So, like, if we keep on doing it over and over, and God is talking to us, and, like, we are not listening, eventually, God, like, I don't know if. Like, frustrated is the right word, but, like, he gradually will, like, leave you.
Withdraw.
So, like, I feel like all of us should implore ourselves to listen to God faster and more. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Give him a hand. It's called growth. Praise the Lord. It's called what?
Growth.
Growth. See, once you have the sin nature, you cannot be a perfect man. Amen? You can't. You got problems. But if God has to speak to you 7 times, I don't know how many times he spoke to the Israelites.
There was a time he actually said, this is the 10th time. So, really, in as much as it looks discouraging, God is in the business of being patient with us. So take that to the bank. God is in the business of being patient with us. But God too takes delight in our growth. That, we don't get to number 10 for this guy again. No. Somewhere between 5 and 6, he gets it. Amen. That's growth. Praise the Lord. That's growth. And then God, he keeps working on you the more. Bible says, God speaks once, even twice, yet man does not perceive. But he doesn't give up on us. Amen. And then keeps the sure way to reduce our infirmity time, praise the Lord, is to be quick to repent. Is to be what? And that repentance, I mean genuine repentance. You will always make mistakes on your path of growth. Praise the Lord. You'll always make mistakes. But you repent. And you ask for mercy. And by God's grace, you get better. You get better. We all face that. Sometimes you have and say, And God told me, oh, you knew you had that perception that don't go that way. Important is that when it happens like that again, you just say, that's how it happened that last time. I don't want it to happen again. So, it's very important. So that it won't cost us. So that it won't what? The reason why God says we should remember him in the days of our youth is so that adult stage, you are going to live it more victorious. Praise the Lord. Adjust things now. I have a student. I mean, she's a big girl now. Graduated many years ago. So, I supervised her project, undergraduate. So, she got a job, a nice job. If I remember very well, I wrote a reference for her, got the job. And then, at the job, they gave her permission to go and pursue her master's. She got an admission in the U.S. So, worked for the federal veterinary agency. So they gave her 2 years. So wrote a reference for her. She went to Texas and did her master's and came back. And when she came back, she came to come and greet me in the office in UI. Nice girl, very nice. She works in Lagos. So, but she came back and came to say hello. So, as expected, because by this time she was 30, 31, I said, ha. Sister, so. Where is the man? Definitely at 30, 31. That's what we'll be asking. You've done the first degree. You've done the master's. Now we want the master. All these masters, let's put that one aside. The real master. She said, sir, mommy is on my neck. That's her natural mom. She's the last born. Everybody's married. Her father is late, so it's her and her mom. So mommy always faces, mommy's on my neck, but I don't want to make a mistake. It's not that I don't want to get married, though. I don't want to make a mistake. I'm eager. Now, she's married now with her daughter. So this was some years ago. So, but she said something, which is the story I want to. She says, sir, I have a very good friend. My friend got married 3 years after married with 2 children. The marriage is dissolved. 3 years with 2 children. He said, what hit me was that my friend told me, he said, wait, do you know what? From the beginning, I knew this marriage won't work. That's God. He will give you a witness. She knew it. But it was like, well, this is the person I have now, so I beg. She said, my friend, I knew this thing would not work. But I just couldn't. That's God's inner witness. So that not working, it blew up. It was not a surprise. Not that the devil suddenly came. God
That's God's love for us. And that's why I said, let's cultivate that habit of obeying God quickly, so it won't cost us. Amen. The reason why God is speaking is that he sees danger ahead, and he does not want you there. Amen. But when God has spoken to you, you don't have peace about something, or you have peace about something, but it doesn't make sense, you don't want to do it. Then the one that makes sense to you, that you can calculate, you can see the profit, God said, don't go there. Gradually, God will start with the small things. Let's learn. Amen. Let's learn. And that's why I said what Ibrahim said is growth. God will be speaking, Let our sensitivity be increasing. Amen. And what increases your sensitivity? The word of God. Amen. And tenderness of heart. God is faithful, though. And thank God, he's realizing that, daddy that said it, mommy that said it, sister that said it, friend that said it, they are not speaking by themselves. This is God speaking to them. Because sometimes we don't even recognize when God is talking to us. Amen. God doesn't push any of us into sudden trouble. God is too kind for that. He's making us learn. Amen. Making us learn. And in the learning process, you become better. Those are the things we are talking about. Hope of righteousness. Become a better Christian. A stronger Christian. Then you are not somebody. Everything is noisy. Everybody is chatting and laughing. But suddenly God speaks to you and you hear. In the midst of all that noise. It doesn't come overnight. It came through years of regularly obeying God. Sometimes try and error. Sometimes you miss it. But later you get stronger. Praise the Lord. Is that 6:35? Let's have about two more. Where is your twin brother? So there's a fourth set. Where is he? Okay, he's not around. Okay. So there's a fourth set. Okay, let me have Enoch and then let's have Dr. Limu. Oh, and then what's your name? Abraham. Okay, so we have those three. Okay, Enoch works with God.
So when you were talking about the how the king and God, and he went to ask God for mercy, and problem made him ask God for mercy, it made me to like think about it, and it made me say that in my heart that if the problem, we should use problems as a kind of motivation to push us to
see God
and to not want to make that mistake again.
Yeah.
And when those problems come, it won't be like a challenge to overcome, and not just a something that will put us down.
Subdue us. Beautiful, Enoch. Give me my hand. I remember a friend many years ago, many years. The way time flies now. She was just using colloquial description that, you know, after many encounters with problem, when problem knocks again, you give him a seat. Say, sit down. You say, after many encounters with problem, before, hey, problem, oh, hey, problem. But later, after many encounters, say, problem are coming. Sit down. Because, you know, the end of the day is that you overcome problems. Praise the Lord. But the problem, at the end of the day, problem doesn't kill you. It's the fear of problem that becomes your issue. Amen. But when problems come, with time, it always drives us to seek God. Amen. Jesus talking again. I've been talking to you. I just can't get your attention. And the mistake you are doing is having existential threat on you. So I allowed that accident to happen. And Jesus walked into the hospital talking to him. He said, you will get healed soon. But I've been talking to you. There's this thing you are doing. And it's going to cost you your life because you know better. So the where you are, you are not a baby anymore. So there are judgment and consequences to those things. And I've been trying to get your attention, but you are just adamant. Then I allowed the accident to happen. So I can, and God now told you, don't do it. And then his whole ministry changed. So sometimes problems come. God allows problems to come so I can grab our attention. Paul says, this problem came on me. Three times I saw the Lord. Take it away from me. God said, I won't take it away. But in that problem, my grace will be sufficient for you. And my strength will be made perfect through this your weakness. So all the Paul now say, I rather I glory in my infirmity, because when I accept that I'm weak, God makes me strong. Praise the Lord. That's the attitude. Amen. There is nothing like a winning mentality. Don't let the devil affect your mentality. Once I see I am losing faith, I am doubting what I believe, I call myself to order quickly. Because a defeatist mentality, that's a devil's trophy. When anything happens, like, hey, I'm done for. Calm down now. At least approach God. You immediate. Don't let. For as they say, that's his weakness. It's not your weakness. Get rid of that. Praise the Lord. Don't go into defeatist mentality. It's a devil's trophy. You've got to stay in faith. You've got to believe God. Once problems come, there is a solution somewhere. Amen. God will make a way where there seems to be low. And one brother said, there's actually a way, but you just can't see it with your own natural eyes. There seems to be, but there is a way. There is a way. There is a way. There seems to be, no, but there is a way. Just that with your defeatist mentality, you can't see it. And how will you change defeatist mentality? Humble yourself and ask for mercy. Amen. God will open your eyes. Limo.
Thank you so much, sir, for all you've said. I've really learned a lot this evening. I have a friend who is losing faith, and I'm wondering how I can be of help to her. Now, she's not here in Ibadan, and how I got to know was, a few weeks ago, I just thought of her and decided to call her, and she said she deliberately didn't pick my call because she was ashamed, and she didn't want to speak to me because she would break down. So I was wondering how I can be of help to her. I'm here. I can't visit her house and check on her. But basically, it's the way Nigeria is. The hard times, she doesn't have a job. Her husband's job is not forthcoming. Or the job, he has a job, but the money is not forthcoming. And also, I'm just wondering how I can be of help to her.
Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Last year or 2 years ago, I think it was either the strike in UI or pandemic. I guess it was more of the strike. So there was no pay. And today there will be a rumor that the strike will soon be over. Government has agreed they will pay us 700,000. Then later they will say, no. It broke down. They say it is 2 million. Then later they will say, and I told people, you better calm down. You better calm down. And don't give yourself over to blood pressure. And wait for a cycle to play itself out. And don't get yourself agitated and overwhelmed. Praise the Lord. There are overwhelming situations in the country. Amen. And like we said at the beginning, we are not hiding like ostrich putting our... No, there are. But Bible gave us some challenges one time. He said, by thinking and thinking and overthinking and worrying and super worrying and thinking, do you create anything by yourself? No. So we have to learn to calm down and trust God. Your friend needs prayers. You pray. There's nothing you can do more first than that. You get daily rhema sent to your friend. Say, take time, read the word. Praise the Lord. The month ends, you get your salary. I know you are going through tough times. It's not that things are, but please take this token. It will encourage her. Amen. We said here last week also that if you want God's mercy, you yourself, you need to be merciful. Amen. Sometimes you will see people in dire situations. You are dire situations too. But this one is existential situation. The little you can do. Pray and do. There is no solution to Nigeria's problem more than pray and do. If we think we are so much problem, we should abandon prayer, we should do. It's a wrong step. It's going to get us nothing. Okay? Someone said, we have prayed too much in this country. That's our problem. Where we are busy praying, India is developing. Where we are busy praying, Singapore is developing. All the prayer is enough. Let's start doing. And I don't reply to those it's UII academic staff platform, but I don't reply, but I form my own impression. Okay, when I read, because if you don't form your own impression, people will impress on you. So I read it and I said, oh, pray. Walk, we should walk. Okay, we need to actually accept that we have two problems. We pray deceitful prayers and we are deceptive at work. It's not one of them that's a problem. We pray deceitful prayers. They say pray. What have we been praying? Self-minded prayers. God kill my enemy prayers. God burn my enemy prayers. How will that solve the problem of the country? The Holy Ghost fire should burn your mother-in-law. And we go to vigils and pray such prayers for hours. We've prayed deceitful prayers and we have been deceptive at work. I'm convinced I will play my own part to solve this country's problem. And by God's grace, I've been playing my part. And I know the part. Take my prayers seriously for righteousness and God's glory and work very hard. That's how I'm going to play my... I won't substitute one for the other. They are the two sides of the coin. Pray and walk. When you pray, you get insight to the walk. When the walk works out well, you get direction what to pray again. It's two sides of the coin. Amen. A few years down the road, by the grace of God, I mean, I speak as God's servant, we'll have a Nigeria we are proud of. And when we look back, we'll know two things happened. We prayed well and we worked hard. That's what we are going to say. Solved our problem. We prayed well. When I mean pray well, prayer of repentance. When people have prayer point that God, I want little work but plenty money. Isn't that a deceitful prayer? Don't we sing it in our choruses? And they say we've been praying too much. We've been praying deceitful prayers. Book of Psalms says, man goeth out early in the morning to his work and returns at the evening of the day. That's work. Praise the Lord. We won't walk. We pray deceptive prayers and we want the country to change. Like I said, the bright days are ahead, and when they come, we will realize that we prayed honest prayers and we worked very hard. Abraham, and we close.
Thank you very much, sir. I have two thoughts in my mind. The first one is, I think there are some times when God will want some people to have experience by the challenges they face, either by their fault or someone caused it for them. And there are some of us that God doesn't want us to have that experience, but we should learn from there. I don't know if I'm right about that.
I'm hearing you.
And the second one is, for example, myself, maybe I'm living a wayward life, or I'm living a life that is not pleasing to God, and my friends, my parents, everybody, they were telling me, and I did not yield to their warning. I used to have this thought in mind that it is only when that person have an encounter with God, that person will change. Now the question there is it everybody, is right with we youth nowadays, we have that kind of encounter with God before we change?
Beautiful. A hand for Abraham. Beautiful. Everything, question one, everything is a learning process. The one you go through, the testimony you hear about what somebody went through, everything is a learning process. Learn from everyone, of learn from all. There are some you will go through. There are some you will hear about. There are some you will read about. Praise the Lord. All of them, they are all learning processes. Amen. God determines how it comes. Amen. Pastor Lubi said many years ago, there are some things we will learn by instruction. There are some things we will learn by affliction. Because they instructed and instructed. It's obvious you will never learn it by instruction. But you will learn it by affliction. What happened at the end? Did you learn it? That's the most important. Amen. Be it by instruction or by affliction. But the more we obey instruction, the lesser the intensity and the length of our affliction. Bible says, except the word of God had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. So that means, in that affliction, God wanted you to go into the word. Okay? So that was it. So when he went into the word, he was able to overcome. So except the word had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. May we not perish in our afflictions. So I think I've used that answer to answer the two sides of your question. There are some things you can learn by instruction, but you won't learn them. God is not deceived. We deceive him, but with our mouth, but he's not deceived. Oh God, I won't do it again. But you are planning to go and do it immediately. God knows now, he has seen it. Praise the Lord. So it's obvious by instruction you won't learn this thing. But because God loves you, affliction comes one way or the other. And once you have a honest heart, you realize that God has showed up. Praise the Lord. That's it. I remember a brother's story. He said many years ago, he was in Lagos and God told him, you are not supposed to be here. Go back to Ibadan. He said for 1 year, listen to this, this real life story. For 1 year, he told God every day, I will go to Ibadan tomorrow. For a year. God, I'm sorry. Tomorrow I will go. For 1 year. Still a brother to today. I told you, sometimes I don't understand God's capacity to be patient with us. Amen. It will have been good. So, hearing that story, I shouldn't allow myself to be in that same situation and spend a year. No. I should learn from that experience. Praise the Lord. So that's be patient. God is patient with you. Be patient with yourself, but be quick to repent. Amen. Be quick to forsake what God says leave. Quick to repent. Quick to forgive. Quick to forsake. Amen. God has a mission. He wants us to be more like Jesus. A better person. And it's going to help your life. It's going to help your life. It's going to help your life. In the office, in the workplace, they will know, this man. Did he say they didn't drop the money? If he said so, then that's it. That nature of God in you, they are seeing it in the office as an asset. Praise the Lord. I watched a film many years ago, many years ago. There was this man, like many of us have faced many times, a lecturer in the university, professor. Then there's this girl in class who doesn't want to read but wants to pass. You understand? I don't need to break down that story. There's this girl in the class, she wants to pass and pass well, but she doesn't want to read. And she tried gaining the attention and support of this professor. And the professor says, you see all these efforts that you are putting, if you put half of it into the book, just half, you will pass this thing. So she felt slighted and injured and brought something to the wife. The wife said, never. my husband cannot. Let your Christianity produce fruit in you that makes you a better person. It makes you reliable. It makes you productive. And at the end, what will it do? It's going to cause you to be promoted. Praise the Lord. It's going to cause you to be promoted. Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel are these ones, children of the Most High God. Godliness is profitable unto all things. Spiritual, marital, physical, career is profitable unto all things. Don't let the devil lie about to you about that. It's profitable unto all things. It has the promise of this world, and ultimately it has the promise of the world to come. Let's bow our heads in prayers.